So far, we've seen a repenting sinner coming to Christ. We've seen two blind men believing Christ could and would help them. But there still might be this lingering in someone's mind. Can't you show me, teach me, explain to me the actual coming of a sinner to Christ? How exactly does that go? Fair questions, but weighty enough that only Scripture can be trusted to answer them with 100% certainty and accuracy. But first, we should dust off three words that used to be used in Reformed churches for centuries, but have fallen a bit out of use. The words are appropriation, appropriating, and appropriate. Simply, these words mean to take possession of and use for myself. Article 22 of the Belgic Confession says faith embraces Jesus Christ with all his benefits and appropriates him. Instead of that, we've come to hear people say things like apply, as in Christ needs to be applied or salvation applied, which makes us passive, waiting for something to happen rather than faith embracing Jesus Christ and by God's grace making him our own. But we said we'll let Scripture speak on this important matter. Sinners coming to Christ. In John 4, the nobleman said unto Jesus, Sir, come down ere my child die. Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him. Matthew 8, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Matthew 8, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof. But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Luke 5, Behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy. And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the man, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. Matthew 5. A certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body she was healed. And he said unto her, Jesus did, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. These are only 5 out of about 35 recorded miracles of Jesus. In every instance, the person afflicted could not do what he or she came to Jesus to have done. In some instances, Jesus did more than what he was asked. In no instance was anyone sent away with a no. Jesus hasn't changed. Man's need of Jesus hasn't changed. So what has changed? Why have some of you not yet come to Jesus? Why have some appeared to have given up on coming to him? A tender, loving, compassionate Savior. So these examples of miracles demonstrate Jesus' ability. But the following passages demonstrate his heart attitude toward the broken the aimless, the lost. Matthew 9. When Jesus saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Matthew 14. Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. Matthew 20. Lord, that our eyes may be opened. So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight. You see, Jesus, our high priest, is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Jesus had compassion on the scattered without a shepherd, compassion on those who were ill, those who were blind, compassion on the leper, on the man with the legion of devils, compassion on the widow of Nain who lost her only son. Jesus wept over Jerusalem. He wept at the grave of Lazarus. He sent his disciples to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Jesus hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. A bruised reed he will not break. A smoking flax he will not quench. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, in that he himself hath suffered being tempted. He is able to succor, that means to come to the aid of you who are tempted. You see, Jesus was sent to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And that year is now. Hear Jesus in his own words, "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. The Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." Is he not calling you? Is he not drawing you? Don't you feel your need of him? How helpless and how hopeless you are without him. Have you found any reason in him not to come to him? Have you found any example in the Gospels to dissuade you from coming to him? So why will you tarry without when Jesus himself invites you in? Are you weary, heavy laden? Here is rest for your soul. He said, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." He said, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." He said, "Whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." The Master is come and calls for thee. Will you not come to him?